All right, take your Bible, if you would, please. Now again, Isaiah chapter number 1. We're going to start reading with verse number 17. And I'm going to ask you if you'll stand, please, in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from the Bible. I'm going to ask that you read along silently as I read out loud. We're just going to read three verses, starting in chapter 1 of Isaiah, verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Verse 18, which is also our text verse. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, seeing things from Jesus' point of view. Seeing things from Jesus' point of view. So let's pray. Father, I thank you now for the simple truth that we're about to hear. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd meet with us. I ask that you flow through me to your people and to our hearts. Speak to our hearts and cause us to draw closer to you in our lives as a result of what your word teaches us. Guide now and direct. Again, we thank you for the way you love us. Bless our service, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What a wonderful example we see here in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 1 of the way God loves his people. We see here rebellious people, the Israelites, the Jews. They left the teaching of God. They had turned to the things of the world. They left the truths that God had given to them to live by, to walk by, to establish their lives by, for the falsehood of the devil in the world. They'd been fooled. They'd been tricked. They had turned away. They had left the one true God and His ways and His Word. They had turned to serving the devil. They had turned to serving their own flesh. They had turned to serve and be like, walk like, talk like, and behave like the world. In actuality, it doesn't sound a whole lot different from our day to day. Doesn't sound very much different from the way that many lives have been led in America today. When America was founded, it was founded on Christian principles and the Word of God. It wasn't founded on man. Our nation was not established as a heathen nation. It was not established as a Muslim nation. It was not established as a Jewish nation. It was established as a Christian nation. And so long as America followed the Word of God, and so long as Americans prayed and walked with God, God blessed America. Over the decades, over the years, America has slowly drifted away from God. Our churches are more empty today than ever in the history of our nation. Less young folks believe that there even is a God. They're taught in our public schools that abortion's okay. They're taught that we were evolved, not created. They're taught that it's more important how they feel and how their emotional structure is than the needs of other people. We've been fooled by the devil. We've been fooled by the world. We've been led away by our own lust and enticed, as the Bible would say. Leaving the Word of God and His teachings to cling to the teachings of the world and our flesh. And truly the devil. Yet, we see here in Isaiah chapter 1 God's great love for His people regardless of the condition that we're in. He says in verse number 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Here was Israel. They had left the Word of God. They had left the truths of God. They had left the law of God. They had left the ways of God. And they were living just like any other worldly nation. And God comes to these people and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, folks, though your sins have stained as dark as scarlet, red as crimson, I love you so much that I want to make you white as wool and as clean as snow." Just as great as that love God had for the Jewish people is also the same love He has for you and me in this generation in which we live in. Though our sins be as scarlet, He says to us as well, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That is what we call our great salvation, Jesus Christ, in the power of His death, burial, and resurrection. Our sins are gone, 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 gone. Yeah, we sing that song as to our children, gone, 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 gone. Yes, our sins are gone. Now I am free and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. That is good enough for me. I shall live eternally, praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E, gone. That's what we sing with our children. That's what we sing with our children's songs. And that's a true statement. My sins are gone in Jesus Christ. Though I may have my sins as red as crimson, as dark as could be, they shall be made white, clean as wool, clean as brand new snow. That's what we have, a great salvation. I am justified, the Bible says. The word justified means just as if I have never sinned. At the cross, Jesus paid for all our sins. And if I trust Him in faith, by grace, I'm saved and heaven is my home. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 10 simply says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So God offers to you and I the same salvation, the same cleansing from sin that He offered to the Israelite people, to the Jews. I know that I was deep in sin before I heard the gospel message. I was saved as an adult. I wasn't saved as a child. I was not raised in a home that went to a Christian church every Sunday. I was not raised around the Bible. I was not raised around Bible reading. I had been beguiled by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I was doing whatever I wanted to do, any way I wanted to do it. And yoo-hoo! If I wanted to go get drunk, I'd go get drunk. And if I wanted to go get high on drugs, I'd go get high on drugs. And I was going to do whatever pleased me. That's what the world teaches our young folks today. Remember the beer commercial that said, "This is get life because this is all the gusto you're going to get"? Another beer said, commercial used to say, I can't remember. My mind's gone blank. Oh, well. Beer commercials teach our young folks that this is the best it's going to get. And by the way, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, life on this earth is the best it's ever going to be for you. It's going to get worse in eternity rather than better. Because we'll have to face the judgment that God has set up for those who have not received Him as Savior. That's not a wonderful place to be. Yet there are more to these verses in Isaiah chapter number 1 than what we simply read. There's more to understand here. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." He does not see what you and I see. He does not see what you and I perceive. He sees everything completely different. He doesn't see me as a sinner anymore. He does not see you as a sinner. So let's talk a little bit for a moment on seeing things from Jesus' point of view. Number one, what is seen by God before our salvation? What is seen by God before, by Jesus Christ, before our salvation? One word. Are you ready? Sin. S-I-N. That's what God sees. That's what Jesus sees. Sin. Our sin. Sin means a grievous offense that has been committed against the Word of God and against God or against each other. It means the missing of the mark. We've talked about that over the last few weeks. It means I missed the mark. God set up in His Word a place that we're supposed to meet, and we missed that. And that's an offense, a grievous offense against the Word of God. The Word of God calls sin a darkest stain as scarlet. Though your sins be as scarlet, He says. Then we see the word trespass here. The word trespass is different than the word sin. The word trespass does not mean sin. It's more than that. The word trespass means something we've done directly, purposely, against God or His Word. He says those sins are as dark as crimson. We have trespasses and sins. Trespass means I knew what God said, but I did what I wanted to anyway. For example, we all know, and we were raised, especially our older generations that I'm a part of, were raised never to use the word, the name of the Lord in vain. Didn't we learn that? We learned never to use the Lord's name in that way. And so when we do that, we've directly gone against what God teaches us in His Word, and we've trespassed His Word. So not only have we sinned, we directly, intentionally broke God's Word. We all know it simply means, the Bible says, lust not, doesn't it? Don't lust after the thing, the tenth commandment says, don't lust after your neighbor's stuff, simply. Lust means a desire to have something that is not your own. Yet all of us have lusted after something that's not our own. Boy, I wish I had that over there. I want to figure out how I could get that. What they have. That is lusting. To want something that is not yours. And God's, we all know we were raised not to lust, weren't we? We were raised not to do that. And yet when we lust, that's a trespass. We've directly gone against the Word of God and what we know God has said. I'm not going to prolong this. That is what a trespass is. So He says, our sins and our trespasses are as dark as stain as scarlet and as dark as crimson. That's what God sees before salvation. He sees sin and trespasses. Think for a moment, if you would, about a red stain. A red stain. If there's a stain that bothers me around my home, it's a red stain. Because if you spill something red on a carpet, especially if it's a light-colored carpet, or if it gets into something, it's so hard to get that red out. Red is a tough stain to get rid of. My first reaction when I see something get spilt in red is, oh man, that thing's never going to come out. So I've got to find out how to get rid of that red sin, and that's what, or red stain. That's what God says. In fact, we learned there was a company that a friend of ours owned in Lexington, Kentucky, many years ago. We had a friend that owned a company. And the company was a carpet cleaning company. And their moniker to the company, or slogan was, "We get the red out." That was the slogan of the carpet cleaning company. One day, I asked directly, "How do you get the red out?" And their response was very honest and very forthright. They said, "Well, we do promote that, but that's not really true. We can lighten the stain, but you can almost never get red out of something. Maybe 3 or 4 visits, we can get it light enough that you can barely see it. But it's going to take that much work to get red out of something that it's stained on. So red is nearly impossible stain to get out of things. You can bleach it, it still shows up. You can wash it, it still shows up. It's a true effort to try to get rid of a red stain. It takes time. Yet our Lord says, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Like though they be red as crimson, they shall be made as wool." He can get the red out. And it doesn't take application after application after application. It just takes one time. And the sin's gone. The stain of sin is gone. The mark of sin is gone. Years ago in Genesis, we find that a man commits murder. And God marks him as a murderer, doesn't he? So everybody knows that he's a murderer. He killed his brother. The Cain and Abel story. That's a mark that doesn't come out. God says, when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept His death, burial, and resurrection for our death, our burial and resurrection, He gets that stain out. He gets that mark out. It's gone. Gone, gone, yes, it's gone. Forever, He can get it out. I have a friend who worked in Tyler, Texas. Years ago, he worked for the police department. He does no longer work there, but he was a crime scene investigator. And he taught me a great deal about crime scenes. And one of them was about blood. You probably know this by now because now it's on all these forensic shows, but I didn't know it back then. He said, if you were to cut yourself badly and bleed all over the platform or somebody else was, and all of a sudden blood was everywhere, you can clean up that blood on the outside. You may wash it and you may clean it and you may try to bleach it. You may even paint over it. But the blood's still there, though you have no idea it's still there. If you take a chemical called luminol and spray it over the area and take a special light, you can see all the areas and where the blood was, even though you think you got the blood out. It's a mark that can stay with you. It's a mark like crimson. Yet, because we clean it, we think it's covered up and gone, but Jesus sees it. We try in our life always to cover up our sin. Unsaved folks, saved folks, we commit a sin or trespass. We try to justify it. We try to clean it up. We try to turn over new leaves of our life. Amen. We try to clean things up. We try to change. Well, I'll change. I'll become better. And we make efforts to try to cover our sin. But God says, you may try to cover it, but I still see it. You may change your behavior, but I still see it. That's what Jesus sees from His point of view before salvation. Number one. Number two, what's our view? Jesus says, if you'll come to me and allow me to take care of your sin, I'll get the red out, I'll get the stains out, it'll be gone. You'll be as white as wool or white as snow. There'll be no stain. So after salvation, Jesus sees no stain. Yet, what we see is a little different. We still see our sin, don't we? We still see the things that we've done wrong. We still feel the sting oftentimes of our sin. You and I may be saved and on our way to heaven, but we still see the stain of our sin and we see the stain of other people's sin. Oftentimes, that is not what Jesus sees. In fact, I know that's not what He sees. I know my wife and I, we not been married as long as some of you in here, but we've been married. We'll celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary this September. We like being married. We love each other. We enjoy spending time with each other. But we know each other's sin too. There's nothing that my wife doesn't really know about me, and there's not a whole lot that I don't know about her. We may try to fool others, but I can't fool her, and she can't fool me. We may say thus and so, but the truth is that we really have a hard time fooling each other. We know each other very, very well. And because of that, I can see her sin very easily, and she can see my sin very easily. And sometimes it's hard for her to say, "What are you doing that for? You're supposed to be a preacher." Because she can see my sin so easily. We can see our spouse's sin so easy. Yet that's not what Jesus sees. I hadn't been in church very long, and I found that Christians are forgiven, not perfect. Christians are simply forgiven. We're washed away, and in the sight of Jesus Christ, He no longer sees the stain of our sin. He no longer sees the crimson. We're clean to Him. But sometimes we see each other's sin. We're not perfect. In fact, we're imperfect. We all have sin that we don't want anyone else to see, but oftentimes people see it. We want others to see the white, but most of the time we see the red. This is the best illustration I can think to use to help me and hopefully help you understand this. One day, long ago, my wife had been gone for a few hours. I thought I'd surprise her. I saw the dirty dishes sitting there, so I decided I was going to wash the dishes. I thought I'd surprise her and get them done. I found, first of all, that it takes my wife no time to do dishes, and it takes me eternity to do one dish. And not being a man who knows the kitchen very well, I didn't know how much dish soap to put in the sink, so I took the dish soap thing and I went around and made a couple circles, you know, in the bottom of the sink, put the stopper in, turned on the water, and let her fill up. And boy, did I have the suds. I had suds everywhere. I had so many suds, I had to scoop them up and put them in the other sink and wash them down the drain so that I could work with the dishes that I had in the sink. Being mischievous-minded somewhat, I started playing with the water. I started playing with the bubbles. I started popping the bubbles. And I thought about this because this last week my wife was busy and I decided to do some dishes for her. And I kind of had the same experience again, popping some bubbles. Every time you pop a bubble and there's a lot of suds, another bubble comes and closes up. You don't see the water that's underneath. You don't see the filthy water that's underneath. You don't see all the crud that was washed off the dirty dishes. You don't see all the crumbs and the sludge that was left there after you scrubbed all the dishes. Because all you see is the white, fluffy bubbles. And as I popped the bubbles, like I said, other bubbles came and took their place and kept covering it up and kept covering it up and kept covering it up. I took a cup, a clear cup, and I pushed it down into the water and brought it up. And at the top, it was filled with the bubbles. And at the bottom, it had that dirty water. And I looked at that stuff and I said, "Boy, it looks clean from the top, but it sure is filthy. You wouldn't want to drink that water." And that's the difference between what God sees and what you see and what I see. He sees the bubbles. He sees the top. We've been washed. He doesn't look at our sin anymore. It's gone for Him. Though our sins were dark as scarlet, though they were as blood red, if you will, they're gone to Him. He's washed them, and we become clean. And He sees those bubbles. And every time the devil tries to get us before God, and he starts popping the bubbles to say, "Look at that person. They're not a very good person. Look at that Christian. They're not a very Christian." And those bubbles pop. Another bubble comes over, and Jesus doesn't see all that. Our Heavenly Father doesn't see all that. He sees the new bubbles. The cleanness, not the degradation that you and I see. Years ago we had a swimming pool, and I learned a long time ago, if you look down underneath the water, what you see above the water isn't necessarily what you see down below the water. And you put on them little goggles there and you get the air out and your eyes can see clearly down underneath that water. And boy, below the water level, things are different than what they are above the water level. And that's the way it is with Jesus Christ. Things are much better up there in heaven. He doesn't see our true condition. Well, truly, He sees the true condition. He sees that we've trusted Jesus Christ and He's washed our sins away and we're clean. We look down below and we see all the filth and all the crud. And we concentrate on that and we forget about Jesus' point of view. We see that we forget that we're clean before Him. So here's what happens. We don't pray because we see the dirty water. We don't read our Bible because we concentrate on the filth that's there. We get frustrated in our Christian walk because all we see is the dirt. But God sees the bubble. And every time the devil pops in bubbles, or we pop those bubbles, or try to get God to see the filth underneath, He just keeps putting new ones there. And He says, no, they're clean, devil. Leave them alone, Satan. They're mine. I let the water out. There are still bubbles in the sink. I washed the sink down. There in the little strainer was a bunch of crud. Took the strainer out and I threw it away. One of these days, the Lord's going to take us to heaven. And all those bubbles will be gone and all that crud will be thrown away. And we'll be clean. And we'll actually then see things as they really are. As God sees them. So may I encourage you this morning to know this. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God loves you and me. He doesn't concentrate on the negatives. He concentrates on the heavenly positive. He looks to you and me and He encourages us to do the right thing, to go the right way, to walk with Him, and to know Him. And if we'll do that, we'll encourage others. Because we won't see their crud. We'll see their bubbles. Father, thank You for what we've learned today. Holy Spirit, take